Hello and welcome to Academy of Blues. Academy of Blues is a Chelsea fan podcast recorded and brought to you from Los Angeles, California. In this podcast, we'll cover major Chelsea news, previews, and reviews. And as we continue to be in lockdown because of COVID-19, we wind the clock back some years and take a look at a game and a goal that changed the fate of our club seemingly once and for all. An underappreciated goal that has kicked off Chelsea's reign as England's most decorated club in the last 20 years. We'll also talk about Chelsea news from the last week, including players that we're rumored to be interested in, former Blue Michael Ballack and current Blue Pedro Rodriguez commenting on leaving Chelsea, and the plans for the new Chelsea Stadium. And in the latter part of the show, we have our three picks for three extremely dumb things that Chelsea players have done in the past, as well as three honorable things done by Chelsea players. Our goal today is to remove you as far as the east is from the west from the current disease outbreak, which shall not be named. We'll have you forget it for a few moments and hopefully have you feeling blue for all the right reasons. So, buckle in and join us for this ride down memory lane as we talk the good, the bad, and the past of our beloved Chelsea. This is episode 2 of Academy of Blues, which can only be titled Billion Dollar Goal. I'm your host, Matty Gebre-Christos, and today I am joined by my good friend, a co-creator of this show, and my co-host, Daniel Gonzalez. Daniel, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing great. I'm excited that we are recording episode 2 of this here podcast. What are you doing to pass the time and ensure that your sanity is intact?
Well, I've been looking at lots of highlights. I've been playing FIFA and pretending that these are real games that are going on. And I am just slightly going insane. Not quite, but a little bit.
I hear that. I've actually got back to FIFA in a way that I haven't in a while as well. I've just started a career mode with Bolton Wanderers. I'm doing a road to glory. I'm going to bring him back to the Premiership.
Okay.
We're going to go Champions League, baby. We're going to do it. If you're thinking to yourself, hey, these guys sound better today than they did last week, well, there's a reason for that. We've got brand new podcasting microphones. And we didn't get them. They were gifted to us. We want to give a shout out to Adrian, Sophia, and Sarah Balan for the new mics. These mics are so nice that even the little voice in my head sounds a little bit better. This episode is dedicated to you guys. We're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we are going to go into part one, which is the billion dollar goal. All right, Dan the man. The first thing that we're going to talk about is what I am calling the billion dollar goal. So, it is the 2002-2003 season, all right? Chelsea is not the team that it is today. It's not this highly esteemed team, one of world football's most decorated, most feared clubs.
Absolutely.
Even though that may not be true this current season.
No.
It definitely wasn't back then.
I don't know. I think everyone fears the goal-scoring prowess of Michy Batshuayi.
That's right.
That guy, I mean, seeing him with his perfect white teeth.
I fear that
fear into the hearts of our enemies.
I fear that Michy Batshuayi is going to live his entire life in an offside position, and he's going to die and get buried in an offside position.
He's going to do it all in a Chelsea jersey.
There should be an offside flag on his tombstone. Michy
Batshuayi. He should get an offside flag tattooed on his face.
We love the guy, but I don't think he understands the offside rule at all. Anyways, we've already derailed. We're going to get back into it. So, 2002-03 season, this Chelsea team of the 2002-03 season is drastically different to any team that any Chelsea fan over the last 20 years really remembers. They had a lot of players that were sort of on their way out, and this was a team that was kind of putting pressure on the top four teams in England. But not really. The closest that they had ever come to winning the league was when they finished third in the 98-99 season when Man United won the treble. And so it is after the 2002-03 season that the current Chelsea owner, Roman Abramovich, it was after that season that he decided to buy Chelsea. And I'm going to make the argument that this is the biggest Chelsea goal in the last 50 years. That might be wrong, but I'm going to try and argue that.
It's a hot take.
It's a hot take.
But you could be true. I mean, you could put up a strong argument for it.
Right. And so we'll get into it. So here's what happened. Here's the context for this game. It is the 2002-2003 season. It's the last game of the season. It's Chelsea against Liverpool. All right. Same thing with Liverpool. They are not the great team that they were in the 80s, and they're not the great team that they are today. They're kind of just in limbo. So they were finishing somewhere between third and like eighth consistently. That specific season, both Chelsea and Liverpool were fighting for fourth spot. Man United was first. Arsenal was second. Newcastle United, of all teams, was in third place. Those were the days of Alan Shearer. And Chelsea was in fourth place going into the final game of the season, and Liverpool was in fifth place. Only 1 point separated Liverpool and Chelsea. Chelsea was in fifth, Liverpool in sixth place. And the important part about this game specifically was whoever won this game finished the season in fourth place. For any of our listeners who don't maybe understand the significance of that, if you finish in the top four slots of the English Premier League, the following season you get to play in a specific league called the Champions League. The Champions League is composed of teams, elite teams around Europe, where essentially every country sends its champions and its top teams to compete in this tournament. And so it is the highest regarded club competition in the world. And there is a lot of money to be made just by teams being in it. And so it was a big deal that this Chelsea team made top four or finished in fourth place. There was no chance of them getting third, but there was a chance of them securing fourth with this game. And if they lost to Liverpool, then Liverpool would have leapfrogged Chelsea and gone on to play in the Champions League the next season. So Roman Abramovich is looking for a team to buy in England, and specifically he's looking to buy a team in London, England. And he was looking at one of two teams. One was Chelsea, and the second team was Tottenham.
Bad choice.
Bad choice, Mr. Wrong Roman choice. Abramovich. And if Chelsea didn't finish fourth, then it really could have been a toss-up between Chelsea and Tottenham. Really, there was nothing that Chelsea offered that Tottenham didn't offer back then that would sway him towards Chelsea and not Tottenham. Because he was looking for this brand new project. He was looking to go into this team or to buy this team and completely change the identity and the DNA of this team and build it in a way that he wants to. Again, because he was bored. All right, so let's talk about the game.
All right.
It's the end of the 2002-03 season. Last day of the season. It's Chelsea against Liverpool at Stamford Bridge. So the game starts. Liverpool take the lead through their captain and defender at the time named Sammy Hippia.
It's a great name.
Great name. He is, I believe he is Finnish.
Yes.
From Finland.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
He's from Finland. And so he scores this header, and Liverpool get off to this start, and all of a sudden Stamford Bridge is quiet, nervous, because if this game continues to go in this vein and Liverpool end up winning, then Chelsea don't get to play in the Champions League. And then potentially what that meant was that Roman Abramovich, our current owner, could have and maybe would have bought Tottenham Hotspur instead. And they would have enjoyed all the success that we're having, which would be a nightmare world to live in.
Yeah,
and so I'm glad it didn't happen. So here's what...
Drogba scoring for Tottenham in the Champions
please,
League final.
Please, no. I don't even want to think about it. So then Chelsea, a little bit later, actually bring the game back to 1-1.
2 minutes later.
2 minutes later. So not that long.
Goal scored. A header. Powerful header from the Chelsea captain at the time. Give me a second. I'm not going to pronounce this correctly. I've been trying. I've been practicing. Marcel Desailly.
You got it.
Thank you.
If we were French, we would try and say Marcel Desailly, I think.
Yeah, it was great. That was great. I've never heard a French person talk. I feel like I'm in France right now.
You're welcome. So, exactly. Desai scores this incredible header from the edge of the box, and he puts it in essentially in the one spot where the keeper wasn't able to get it. He puts it in the bottom left corner, and it actually hits the post on its way in. And so it was incredible. This was a goal that he shouldn't have been able to score, and yet he did. And so this is kind of where, like, fate starts to take over, right? But not if Liverpool had their way. They actually start pressuring Chelsea more and more, and they have more possession. They have more opportunities. And the game, in many ways, was going in their favor. They looked like they were the next team to score. And then a moment of magic from the great Dane. You've never heard of him, but this is Chelsea's unsung hero of the last 20 years and maybe of the next 20 years. His name I cannot pronounce correctly, but I'm going to try. His name is Jasper Granshire. His last name is...
It's perfect. That was perfect. I've never heard this guy's name.
Well, then I can't be wrong.
But
Granshire, his last name is spelled Gronkjaer.
Oh, with a slash through it as well.
Right. So super complicated. We're just gonna go with his initials. We're gonna call him JG. JG. So JG. Jake Gyllenhaal scores this incredible goal for Chelsea, and the goal, he comes in from the right wing, cuts into his left, and from the edge of the penalty box, he shoots with his left foot. He's a right-footed player. Shoots with his left foot. And here's the crazy thing, and this is what gives me chills, right? This shot wasn't a particularly good shot. The first thing is, he slips as he is shooting it, right? He slips. And the shot actually gets deflected off of a Liverpool player, and it starts curling or curving. And it almost looks like it's going to go just wide of the goal, but it just sneaks right in. And again, he essentially puts it in the one spot where the keeper couldn't have gotten it. On that day, we saw two goals that shouldn't have been, two goals that could have so easily have been saved, right? It was a matter of just like millimeters, and yet they went in. So they both go in. The game finishes 2-1. Chelsea finish in fourth spot, and now all of a sudden they're a much more lucrative club to buy for Roman Abramovich, and he goes on and he buys Chelsea shortly after that. He brings in all these new players that he was looking at and that the Chelsea board was able to identify as players that were going to take Chelsea to the next level of success that they were trying to get, and the rest, as they say, is history. And so as I was thinking about this goal and this game and kind of how that season unfolded and ended, I started thinking about bigger goals that I've seen in my lifetime, either in soccer or more specifically scored at Chelsea. And it was hard for me to come up with bigger goals. It was really, really hard for me to come up with. In fact, I came to the decision, or I came to the realization, that this was indeed the most important goal scored by a Chelsea player in the last 20 years.
It's a hot take. It really is.
Hey, that's what we're here for.
Yeah, you're here to defend your position. And I'm not necessarily arguing against you, but I'm providing devil's advocate. There's a few other goals that could be contender of the greatest goal a Chelsea player's ever scored in the last 20 years. And first of all, you really have to bring up Drogba, 2012, in Munich. That's got to be up there for you. Doesn't it? It has to be.
It absolutely is. I mean, I remember that goal like it was yesterday.
Real quick question. Watching that game, did you cry?
I don't know. I don't think I cried because I had two of my high school friends watching it with me.
Okay.
And I wasn't ready to show that kind of weakness yet.
Were they Chelsea fans?
They were not. One of them was an Arsenal fan and the other was a Tottenham fan.
Oh, wow. Why are you friends with them?
I'm not anymore. Clearly, I'm not anymore. So I do think that goal is, I mean, that goal won the one competition that we've been after for literally over a century. I don't know if the Champions League hasn't been around
in some form or another, it's been around for a while.
Exactly. And so we've been looking for it. before the competition even started. And so, yes, that goal is huge. But the more I think about it, again, that goal and everything that led up to that goal wouldn't have happened, or maybe it wouldn't have happened if it hadn't been for how that game back in 2003 went and how it swayed Roman Abramovich to buy Chelsea as opposed to Tottenham.
And to play devil's advocate against my own devil's advocate argument.
You're like two devils.
I do.
Two devils and an advocate.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, Drogba's goal and winning the Champions League is really the cherry on top of like years of success at this point. I mean, to further the analogy of a sundae, of ice cream sundae, JG's goal was more like the ice cream on the bottom, the foundation that built this great club.
That's well said.
Thanks. That's well appreciate said. It. Drogba is like this. It's a great cherry. It's the most beautiful cherry you've ever seen. But it is just, it's built on these years of success and these years of players that we've gotten. And you have to admit it, the money that's backing Chelsea at this point.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that Drogba goal being the cherry on the top. And in fact, we have another cherry on top of the cherry that we had thought about. And this is a bizarre goal, but this is probably a goal that we Chelsea fans enjoyed a little bit more than maybe we should have.
I mean, it happened in a bad season.
It happened in the worst season since that goal has been scored. This is a season where we were 16th for most of the season. We fired the manager, whose name shall not be mentioned in this podcast. And by the end of the season, we were up to 10th place. Now, we had finished, like our lowest finish was 3rd place between 2004 and 2015. And in 2016...
Well, first we should apologize for the very quick transition. We're now talking about a new goal.
We're talking about a new goal.
2016, it's Chelsea versus Tottenham.
Yeah.
Chelsea really has nothing to win in this game.
Absolutely not. The only thing that they have to win is to leave their stadium knowing that Tottenham was not going to win the league
right
on that day.
To set the stage for anyone who has been living under a rock or just hasn't, you know, been paying attention as much to soccer, anybody who's like a new fan wants to get into it that's listening to this, 2016, Chelsea's worst season since forever, and Leicester, a relatively small club in the span of like Premier League teams, at the top of the league, you know, beating the likes of Manchester United, Arsenal, Manchester City, Liverpool, Chelsea as well. And in this game, Chelsea versus Tottenham, hated rivals. Tottenham in second place. They needed to win this game to be able to continue to compete between them and Leicester. At this point, it's only Leicester, Tottenham, and Arsenal, but they're so far behind it's not even worth talking about them. It was Leicester and Tottenham fighting for the title at this point. And Eden Hazard scores this goal.
88th minute of the game.
After what might be the roughest match that's happened in a long time. I mean, you watched it live.
Yeah.
I was not there. I was not a fan at this point.
I'm pretty sure I got kicked by a Tottenham fan that was watching it close to me in that game. Yeah, people were just taking one another out. And that was an insane game. And what happens in the 88th minute, Daniel?
Hazard does Hazard things.
Yep.
Dribbles through a few players, passes it back and forth, gets inside, and scores this great goal. It's a quintessential Hazard goal.
Yeah.
Right. It just veers right into the corner, on the ground.
Yeah.
Not at all high in the air.
Yep.
And it's just something that he can do over and over and over again.
Yep.
And that's the goal that loses Tottenham the title and gives it to Leicester.
And my favorite thing about that goal was Chelsea had absolutely nothing to play for in that game except for that fact. And when Eden Hazard scores that goal, he celebrates as if we just won the league.
I mean, it shows how much.
It just shows what we think of Tottenham. And so that was another goal that has just been a delight for Chelsea fans to think about over the past few years or so. But again, I'm going to go ahead and stick to my belief, if you will, of that Chelsea wouldn't be the team that it is if it wasn't how that game unfolded and what it did to convince Roman Abramovich to buy Chelsea.
One more thing that we have to talk about. I mean, you have to talk about it if we're talking about this game and this goal, is that really it's not actually the $1 billion goal. it's kind of the second goal. It's very important. It's very iconic, but it's not really the goal that gets us Champions League. Yes, we win the game, and it's obviously great to be able to win the game, but it's actually Marcel Desailly's goal in the 13th minute to tie it up that actually is the thing that propels us into fourth place.
Totally. I completely agree. We didn't need that goal because if the game had finished 1-1, then the table would have stayed exactly the same way that it was. Chelsea would have remained in fourth, Liverpool would have remained in fifth, and we would have finished in the Champions League spot. However, because of how the game was developing, if Chelsea didn't score that goal, then I think that Liverpool would have actually gone on to win that game. And how many times have we seen it where the longer the game goes, the more confident one team grows and the other team just can't seem to make a five-yard pass. And then they keep trying and trying. And then the last minute of the game, there's a goal. So anything really could have happened. But that goal was the insurance goal to make sure. Because when it went in, Liverpool was just completely deflated. They're just like, okay, this is done. And so because of that, I nominated as the greatest Chelsea goal of the last 20 years. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we are going to talk current Chelsea news. All right, we are now in part two of our episode today, and we are going to talk current Chelsea news. So, Daniel, I am trying to prepare for this podcast, right? And I am looking around at what's going on in the media and what's going on in the life of all our Chelsea players, our board, and all that goodness. And I find out a list of players, or from different media outlets and everything, I come up with this list of players that people are saying that we are interested in signing, right? So these are players that are currently playing for other teams that supposedly in the summer we are going to try and buy. I'm going to give you the list. You just hang on there for a second. It's a long list, all right? Ben Chilwell, Andre Onana, Jadon Sancho, Timo Werner, Manuel Neuer, Felipe Coutinho, Timo Pukki, Ben Yedder, William Jose. He's Portuguese, so it is pronounced Jose. Gianluigi Donnarumma, Marash Kumbula, Christian Telles, and Lille defender Gabriel, who's Brazilian, so he only has one name, like Cher, who is not Brazilian, but has one name. Maybe she's Brazilian. I don't know. I'm into soccer, not music. And so these are 12 names. And after I actually came up with this list and put the notes together, there were at least five or six other names that we were linked to that I didn't even bother putting on there. So my question for you is, of all those names that I mentioned to you, who do you actually think we have a realistic chance of getting and bringing into the club this summer?
I mean, you can strike most of them from that list at that point. I mean, it's something about soccer journalism in general that anyone gets linked to any club the moment anything gets thrown out there. So Manuel Neuer, that's way at the bottom of the list.
Why would he?
I have no idea.
Right.
Could you imagine?
I wouldn't want it.
Could you imagine Manuel Neuer passing to Zuma to give him a run on that? Realistically, Lampard has said before that he has this great idea of Chilwell and this image in his head of Chilwell playing for the club. I could see that happening for a hefty price. I don't think Leicester have any need to sell him. If that happens, that's going to have to be one of our big signings.
Right. It's going to have to happen on their terms.
Yeah. It might be our only big signing if it's been Chilwell. Lille defender, actually, Gabriel, actually has a good chance. I mean, a lot of good news has come out recently about that. I don't know if we need another center back at the moment. But we'll have to see how this... I mean, no one's really stood out too much this season. We have a lot of center backs that are good. We have none that are really great. No one that, like Van Dijk, to pair with somebody that can really take our defense to the next level, which hasn't been great this season.
Right. And I don't know if that's him that is going to take our back four to the next level.
He seems more like an up-and-coming.
Okay. How old is he?
He's 22 years old.
Okay, so he could potentially be a signing for many seasons to come.
We have a lot of young center backs.
We do. At the moment. And I don't know if we need that. I wish that we could get Kalidou Koulibaly from Napoli.
I mean, we've been wishing that for years, though.
I know. But he feels like such a Chelsea player, too. just like he can pass it from the back, he can play the ball, and he's just like, he puts his body on the line the same way that John Terry used to do it. And so I wish we could get him, but he's not even on my list because we have 1,000 other names on
my
list. We
could talk about players we want all day.
I mean, I know.
But and the only other one that really stands out to me, I mean, Christian Tellez, I think, is also a possibility, but Jadon Sancho, that's got to be the big name on the list.
Right. Right. That is the big name on the list. And here's the problem with him. The problem with him is he is, right now, he is the darling of world soccer. Every single big club wants him, and every big club is seemingly is willing to spend however much it takes to get him out of Dortmund and into their club. And so if we end up getting him, I wouldn't be surprised if their asking price was somewhere between like 120 to 150 million. And with transfers like Neymar and Mbappe going over 200 million, I wouldn't be surprised if teams are willing to match it, because he's only 20, I think he's 20 years old. And so you buy him, he's got that superstar factor. And so he's going to be a great signing for whoever he signs for. I don't know if it'll be us. I don't.
But we have what no other club has.
That's true.
He's a Chelsea fan.
He's a Chelsea fan.
He's on the right track.
Jadon Sancho, this is Academy of Blues. And you can, if you sign for the club, I will let you come into this podcast and talk with us,
yeah,
only, all things Chelsea.
Only if you sign for Chelsea.
Yeah.
You know, if you sign for United, get out of here.
Get out of here. Nobody wants you if you do that. In other Chelsea news, we have Michael Ballack, who regrets leaving Chelsea. Duh.
Obviously.
It's like, are you dumb, Michael Ballack? For those of you who don't know, Michael Ballack was signed in the 2005-06 season, and he left following the 2009 and 2010 season because he was over 30, and Chelsea has a very strict policy on not offering players over 30 long-term contracts. So they were only willing to offer him a one-year extension to his contract. He wanted a minimum of 2 years, and they said nope. And so he ended up leaving to a German club, Bayer Leverkusen, I believe. And he's kept a pretty decent and good relationship with the club. He's still a fan of Chelsea. You can see him cheering for them during games and things like that. Whenever he's working as a pundit on TV, he's always got nice things to say about Chelsea and his time there and the current team. And so I've always liked Michael Ballack, but shouldn't have left. Because now he's regretting it.
He's retired.
He's retired and regretting it, R&R. And we have another player, Pedro, current Chelsea player, who just confirmed that he is actually indeed leaving at the end of this season.
I mean, I thought he was leaving in the winter transfer window. I'm surprised he actually stayed.
Yeah. I'm surprised he stayed this long, too. But at the same time, Pedro, listen to Michael Ballack. You're going to regret leaving Chelsea. If I were Pedro, I would work at Chelsea as a janitor before leaving or being forced to leave. And so it looks like Pedro's leaving. Pedro's been an awesome servant of the club, I feel like, because he's extremely professional. He's come up with some big, big, big goals for us in times when we've needed him to. And he's just got that workhorse mentality where he'll just run and run and run and run, literally until he gets injured and can't run anymore.
It's really, I mean, I feel like he is underrated for his work rate. I mean, he's really a player that will give his all for the entire match. I mean, I can't count how many times he started a match, and at the 90th minute, he's still sprinting to defend against another winger coming across our side. And that's, I mean, I really like the guy. He's definitely dropped off recently.
As you would expect, which is one of the reasons why they're not offering him a contract extension. By the way, quick note on Pedro Rodriguez. He is the most decorated player in the Premier League.
Really?
Mainly because of his time at Barcelona.
Hmm.
But
of course,
where he won, I think, like 26 titles in 3 years or something like that.
They become meaningless
or
at some
4 point.
4 years.
Don't they? It's just like, but he is indeed the most decorated player playing in the Premier League currently. So Pedro is leaving us.
Okay, so before we go to break, before we go to a new part,
okay,
I do have a little game for you, specifically.
Okay. Ooh, I love games.
Mateos. So, recently, a few days ago, legendary Chelsea manager, not really anymore.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I know how much you despise him at this point.
Uh-huh.
But Jose Mourinho.
Oh, great.
has made a list of his best 11 players that he has coached during his career that spanned for years at this point. I mean, he's managed for Porto, Chelsea, Real Madrid, United, Tottenham. He's done a lot, not to mention others. But Mourinho has named a list of his best 11 players that he has coached. I want to know, can you name Mourinho's 11 players? You have not seen this list.
I have not seen this list.
I have.
Oh, okay. Let's do this.
You gotta name it.
Let's do this.
I want to ask you, do you want a little hint? Do you want to know the formation?
Yes. Give me the formation, and then I'm going to ask you one question before I get going.
Okay. So it's a 4-4-2.
It's a 4-4-2 formation. Okay.
Of course it is.
All right. And then, so I guess it's a two-part of the question. One, can you see what teams each one of his players played for?
I cannot, but I know.
Okay. Does he have any FC Porto players on there?
He does not.
Okay. It's good to know. Let's do this. So it's Chelsea, Real.
Made it a little bit easier for you.
You did. Between three teams. All right. At goalie, it has to be Petr Cech.
That's correct.
Boom. One for one. Left back. I'm going to start with left back instead of right back. Ashley Cole.
Are you sure about that?
Yes.
It is not.
Oh, is it Marcelo?
It is not.
Wow. Hang on a second. Is it Maicon?
It's not.
Is it Javier Zanetti?
It is not.
Man, this is horrible. Is it Branislav Ivanovic?
It is not.
Oof. Sergio Ramos?
It is not.
Is it a left back?
It is a left back. I mean, you should feel bad for this.
It's not a Chelsea player, is it?
It is a Chelsea player.
No.
It is.
Is it William Gallas?
It is.
What?
It is.
How did Gallas make it? Okay.
He did make it.
Clearly, Mourinho doesn't know what he's talking about. All right.
Back-to-back Premier League titles.
All right. That makes sense. William Gallas. Okay, so then...
I should note this before we move on. You're probably going to cut this out. You did take about a minute of silence to think about it.
I did. Okay, so then the rest of the back four. So you have Petr Cech in goal, William Gallas at left back. Next to him, you have John Terry.
Yes. Well, okay. Yes.
Right?
Yes, on the other side, but yes.
Okay. And then... Is Lucio the other defender?
No.
Is it Sergio Ramos?
No.
Really? Man, this guy is playing games. Is it Ricardo Carvalho?
There it is.
It is?
It is.
Another Chelsea player. Okay, I guess he just wants... That's four Chelsea players.
Yeah, yes.
That's 4-4-4 at Chelsea. Okay.
4 at Chelsea.
And is his right back Javier Zanetti?
That is correct.
Ah, look at me.
All right.
That's an Inter player.
First not Chelsea player on the list.
Okay. And so then... his two center mids are going to be Frank Lampard and Claude Makélélé.
That is correct.
Boom. Okay. His right mid, is it Arjen Robben?
Nope.
Is he Dutch?
No.
Huh.
I mean, you're thinking of this too much in a 4-4-2. There's four midfielders. Let's
okay.
go with that.
So this guy's not a true...
I'm not going to say. I don't right want to give you any more hints.
Okay.
You got
is it Wesley Sneijder?
It is not.
Hmm.
You know, I don't know what wing this player plays on, because I haven't watched too much of him, especially on the wing. There's two players. One of them is a Chelsea player. One of them is not.
Is Damien Duff on it?
Nope.
Wow. Mourinho playing games.
I mean...
Is Joe Cole on it?
No.
This is going to be fun to edit.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, Eden Hazard.
There you go.
I can't believe he's playing him. I guess in a 4-4-2, that makes sense. Okay.
Well, I don't know if he actually set it up in a 4-4-2. He just named his best 11 players. The way I'm seeing it is that it's set up in a 4-4-2.
Okay. That makes sense. And then do you have... Is the other one a Real Madrid player?
Yes.
Is it Angel Di Maria?
It is not.
Is it Mesut Ozil?
There it is.
Ah.
Yeah. All right. So to recap, we got Petr Cech, Gallas, Carvalho, Terry, Zanetti, Makélélé, Lampard, Hazard, Ozil. That leaves two players up top.
DJ Drogba is one of them.
Yes, it is.
Has to be. Samuel Eto'o, is he the other one?
It is not.
Huh. Cristiano Ronaldo?
There you go.
He's not a forward. All right. Well, Jose Mourinho, clearly you don't know what you're talking about, and that's why you're managing at Tottenham right now.
But again, if you'd ever like to come onto the podcast and talk to us, Mourinho, I'll take you.
We'll consider it. Maybe we'll have you here, but we won't give you a microphone, so people can barely hear you.
We only have two. We don't have much.
Okay, it is break time. When we come back, we are going to talk about some crazy things that Chelsea players have done. Some awesome things and some not so awesome things. All right, welcome to part three of our podcast today. And in this part, we're going to talk about three extremely dumb and three extremely honorable things that Chelsea players have done in the past. I'm going to start us off with a very dumb thing, Daniel. Actually, right. Let's just do dumb things first so that we can end on a high note.
Yeah.
Okay, this is really dumb. Adrian Mutu, Chelsea player, I believe he was signed in the 2002-03 season, maybe a little bit after. This dude played for us for a while, and he was fantastic. I really enjoyed watching him play. He just had that X factor that most wingers will have at a club. And so he'll have that little bit of magic that he'll produce, a moment of magic that he'll produce.
Emphasis on, you know, he had the magic.
And now we know the reason for the magic, because in the 2004-05 season, he was suspended for 7 months. The reason for it? Use and abuse of cocaine.
I mean, I don't know the story. Before you told it to me. No idea this story. I don't think another player's been suspended since I've been watching for 7 months. That's a long time.
That's a long time. And not only that, I mean, his story is crazy because he gets suspended for 7 months and then the Chelsea board is like, well, you're suspended because you're using cocaine. You can't play for us. So we're going to cut your wages by like a certain percentage. And then years later, after he left Chelsea, he went back and tried to sue the club. And I don't know what's dumber, using cocaine or suing somebody for you using cocaine. So that was Adrian Mutu back in the 2004-05 season. And I feel like if you're a soccer player, if you're a professional athlete, you've got one job.
Don't use cocaine.
If you had a second job, well, I was going to say your one job is play the sport that you're a professional in. But if you had a second job, it's don't use cocaine.
It's really not. All right, I don't know. So to be fair, we don't know. We don't know anybody that uses cocaine.
Speak for yourself.
At least as far as I know.
No, I don't know anyone who uses cocaine either.
So, you know, maybe he had some problems. We don't know.
Maybe so.
Just try not to use cocaine.
Try not to use cocaine. It is not the solution to your problems. Hey, this podcast just became something more.
Yeah. Throwing out good advice. That's our next episode title.
Our second dumb thing that we're going to present to you comes from our beloved captain, leader, legend, John Terry, at a game between Chelsea and QPR, or Queen's Park Rangers. John Terry decides to use racially abusive words towards Anton Ferdinand. And if you are a professional player, you have one job. Play the game. If you had a second job, it's don't do cocaine. If you had a third job, it would be don't racially abuse anybody.
That one's not as hard to not. I mean, okay. If you're using cocaine, it's hard to stop using cocaine. It's not hard to not racially abuse people in a very open setting.
That's very true.
Such as a match.
A very open setting. That has, like, I believe each Premier League game has a minimum of 26 cameras. No. Is it 26 cameras? It's got 26 cameras that are dedicated to players only. It doesn't even follow the game. It doesn't pan onto the fans or the coaches or anything. 26 cameras on the players only. So chances are each player has a minimum of one camera because there's 22 players on there. So each player has at least one camera on them the entire time. And then there are four other cameras that will pan between players and everything. So if you have that kind of attention on you, don't racially abuse anyone. Don't say anything that's abusive. I mean, not that we're condemning, not that we're advocating for racism or being racially abusive towards someone when cameras aren't on you, but that's an especially dumb time to do it. So John Terry, though we love you because you're the captain, leader, legend that you are, and you're so highly esteemed, it makes it even dumber that you would do that because you're the captain, you're the leader, you're the legend. So don't do it.
Shame on you, John Terry. Sorry.
Shame on you, John Terry. But if you want to come on this podcast, you can still come.
No. Yeah. Yeah. You know, we have our hands full. We got a lot of people trying to come in. We got Mourinho. We got Sancho.
Dude, there's a line, JT. There's a line. Get in line. All right. Before I reveal our last one, there were a few honorable mentions. All right. Here's our first one. Florent Malouda, French player, publicly tells Chelsea that he wants out before finding out that nobody wanted to sign him. Joseph Asingwa, Kung Fu kicks Yossi Benayoun. That's the whole thing on its own. But this is a game between Chelsea and Liverpool. Yossi Benayoun is trying to waste time towards the end of the game. He's by the corner flag, and he's putting himself, his body between the ball and any other Chelsea player that comes to get it. And Joseph Asingwa just like runs at him, and he literally just like kung fu kicks him right in front of the assistant referee. How he didn't get a red card is beyond me.
No VAR. I mean, even with VAR, he might not have gotten one anyway.
But that is definitely one of the dumbest things that I've seen as a Chelsea fan. Most recently, Ross Barkley, who couldn't get into the starting lineup at the Chelsea team. You've been around for this.
I have.
He is like struggling to get into the starting lineup.
Yeah, and he goes to a
he makes club. An appearance.
He does.
Not for Chelsea. Where does he make an appearance? At another club, right?
Yeah, it's true. It's true. He did go to another club. I like Ross Barkley a little bit. Like him a little bit. I think he could play for a smaller club. He's done a lot better recently, but this is not the time to be going out and dancing shirtless at a nightclub.
Right.
I believe this is right after or around the same time as him spilling chips in a car and saying, "I'm not going to pay for that," and leaving.
Right.
It's really...
Because he was drunk? Was he drunk?
He probably was.
It sounds drunk behavior.
Yeah, it does.
He's really also English, so he's probably drunk
like by default. At the time. Yeah. I mean, for Ross Barkley, I mean, he must be a bit bored. You know, he wasn't getting any starting time. Recently, he has been with lots of injuries, but wasn't getting any starting time. But this is not... When you're out of the manager's favor, definitely not the time to be dancing shirtless in a nightclub and...
In Dubai, of all places. In Dubai.
It's really not. Over an international break, which he could be spent trying to impress the manager. I mean...
Right.
There could be a lot of stuff he could be doing instead of that. And...
Or at least if you're going to do that, just make sure nobody takes out a camera and records you, Ross Barkley. All right, so then our final dumb thing. This is actually our third dumb thing because all those other things were honorable mentions. But our final dumb thing done by a Chelsea staffer. Now, this isn't a Chelsea player specifically, but it involved Chelsea players. But this was in that aforementioned season where we just completely were horrendous. It's opening day of the season. Swansea, of all teams, is at the Bridge, and they are beating us 2-1. We're chasing the game, or it might be 2-2 at this point. It ends up being 2-2, but it wasn't a game that was going the way that we expected it to. And this was coming back from a championship-winning season. Eden Hazard gets fouled, and as soon as he gets fouled, he looks like he's hurt. He's in a lot of pain. So the Chelsea club doctor or the lead physio at the time, she just like, as soon as she sees him and the referee gives a signal that it was okay for her to come in and give him treatment, she just like runs in and starts giving treatment to Eden Hazard. Now the problem with that is that it wastes a few minutes of the game. It's just a little bit of time that you don't get to actually be playing the game. And
you lose a player.
And you lose a player for a little bit of time. And so Jose Mourinho was absolutely livid that she didn't ask for his permission to jump into the game and give treatment to Eden Hazard. And sure enough, following that game, there's a huge falling out between him and her, and he ends up firing her. She ends up leaving the club. And I feel like we've been just injury-plagued since then. There's been so many injuries.
Hazard especially was not himself during that season for most of it.
Definitely not.
Could be attributed to playing through injury for a lot of it.
Exactly. And we finished 10th in that season. And I definitely think that was one of the major reasons as to why we finished 10th that season. It's because Mourinho was dumb enough to fire Eva Carneiro, was her name, our club doctor.
Yeah. I mean, Mourinho always burns all the bridges as he leaves. But this was the beginning of the season.
Moving on to three honorable things that Chelsea players have done in the past. Daniel, I'm going to enjoy this part because
this is the nice part.
This is the nice part. One of my favorite stories that has come to light over the past 15 years is the story of Didier Drogba. This is our striker. This is our Champions League final winning beloved Didier Drogba, a cult hero and a straight up hero of the team.
Fourth on the list to get into the podcast.
That's right.
As well.
Yep. Didier, we got a place for you. And unlike Mourinho, we will actually have a microphone for you. So in 2006, his country or his nation makes it into the World Cup finals for the first time in their history. Now, at the time, there was a civil war going on between certain groups of that supported the government and a group that didn't support the government. So there was a civil war in Ivory Coast. And Didier Drogba, about 2 weeks before the tournament starts, he goes back to Ivory Coast and he makes a speech inviting the entire nation to stop their civil war for at least a month so that they can be unified in supporting the team. And guess what? He accomplished it. I don't know about you, Daniel, but I've been playing on a Sunday league team for the past 5 years. And I feel like about every five games or so, a fight breaks out. In the 5 years that I've played for this team, I have not been able to stop a single one of those fights. And Didier Drogba has had, in 2006, was able to stop a civil war in his country for an entire month.
I mean, it's impressive. It's impressive. Is it as impressive as scoring a Champions League goal against Bayern Munich?
I don't know. We'll have to ask the man himself when he's here.
I mean, everybody knew that Drogba was a good guy. And just looking at him now, you can like look through his social media and what he's been doing since. He's still doing things like this. He's still making lots of appearances for charities. He's been like trying to raise money for this sort of thing. He's just a good guy. And it's hard to find that in soccer in general. There's a lot of players out there who are just, that's their only thing. Their only drive is to be competitive at the game, make lots of money, and retire with lots of money, still playing the game. But Drogba's a guy who will go out of his way to help those who are less fortunate than him. So, hats off to you, Drogba.
Hats off to you, Didier. Another very honorable thing that we've been seeing currently, the Chelsea owner, Roman Abramovich, who we've talked about a lot in this podcast, he recently opened up the Millennium Hotel at Chelsea. So this is the a hotel right next to Stamford Bridge, right next to the stadium that Chelsea plays in. He opened it up and made it exclusive for NHS staff members, or in other words, he made it exclusive for people who are nurses and doctors and other people who are helping fight the coronavirus outbreak in England. And he opened it up and he's actually having them stay there for free, or he is expensing everything. And so that's a very, very honorable thing. And beyond that, a lot of Chelsea players are actually donating some of their wages and finding ways to partner with different organizations that are fighting against the coronavirus. So I love that they are taking their platforms and that they're taking their influence that they have and using it for a positive thing. Because at the end of the day, soccer is not the most important thing in the world. There are a few things more important, and health is one of them, and the well-being and the safety of people who are in soccer and who are not in soccer. That's also a very important thing. And so I'm absolutely loving the fact that Chelsea players are front runners in helping others in being advocates for people to either stay home or for people to donate to certain charities and things like that.
All right. For our last honorable thing that Chelsea players or owners have done, Juan Mata, no longer a Chelsea player, now a Manchester United player, but he was a Chelsea player once upon a time, 6 or so years ago. Great guy.
Fantastic.
Absolutely
guy.
Amazing person, Juan Mata. But if you haven't heard, Juan Mata has been part of launching this charity called Common Goal, which is a pledge-based charity that encourages football players, soccer players, to donate part of their salary towards supporting charities around the world. And Juan Mata has been spearheading this since 2017, I believe. And he's gotten a lot of players, I mean, him first, but since then, there's been a number of players that have gotten on board. Not too many big names so far, but just recently, as of September, Jurgen Klopp has joined the cause of, if you haven't heard, Jurgen Klopp, manager of Liverpool, done a lot of good stuff over there for them. But Juan Mata started this initiative to donate to parts of their salaries. And these players make tons of money, so even just a small percentage of their salary means a lot to these charities that have been going around the world. And he's been working tirelessly for this while playing his career. Most players do this after they retire, and he's doing this while he's still playing for Manchester United and being a big part of their team. So hats off to you as well.
Hats off to you, Juan Mata. Johnny Kills, as Daniel Sturridge calls him.
I don't know this reference.
Yeah, he calls him Johnny Kills.
What?
Because Juan is translated to John in English, and
Mata is
okay. To kill, so Johnny Kills.
That's a great name.
It's a great name. It's better than that Danish guy that we talked about.
That Danish guy.
I don't even remember his name. The billion-dollar goal man. Now, I also did want to mention that is actually very honorable, because I think it's easy for us who are, the commoners, who are just regular average people who aren't making hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's easy for us to be critical of players who either are donating a small percentage of their salaries or who aren't doing that at all. For example, I saw this thing, and this is sort of outside the realms of soccer, but I'll bring it back, I promise.
All right.
I saw a thing on Twitter. It was trending the other day. Mark Zuckerberg, the Facebook guy.
Yeah, that guy.
He donated $25 million to COVID-19 relief, research, and all that. $25 million, right? Now, he is valued at like $66 or $67 billion. So people then go on and they're like, oh, what's 25 million? What is 25 million? What percentage of 66 billion is that? And they came up with this number, right? And I think it was like 0.04 or 0.05. And so now there is this huge thing going around where people are like, oh, well, that's like a person who makes $30,000 a year giving $5 to charity. And so people were like, oh, he should give more. But then I was like, did you, the one who makes $30,000 a year or even less, did you give those $5 to the charity, And so, and $25 million is a lot of money. It will go a long way to helping a lot of people and families in relief. And so with Juan Mata, even though it's just a fraction of their salaries, it still goes a long way. One, because their salaries are very, very high. And two, because they're actually doing something that a lot of people aren't. If everybody in the world took 2% or whatever it is of their salaries and gave it to a charity, things would be so much better off. But as it is right now, people don't. And I mean, if you can't live on 98% of your income, you're not going to be able to live on 100% of your income. Mm-hmm. And so everyone can afford to give those 2%. Anyways, that was my little rant to end things on a high note. We'll take one last break, and when we come back, we'll give you a few notes, and we'll be out of your way. Okay, so if you're still with us, then you get to hear about how you can get in touch with us. Daniel, I believe that now we have an Instagram and a Twitter account.
We do. For both of them, you can follow us at Academy of Blues.
Boom. Academy of Blues. We will catch you in the socials. We also have an email address that you can email questions, comments, concerns.
Also, academyofblues@gmail.com.
Boom. And so if any questions get sent in, then we will discuss them in next week's podcast. Until then, I have been Maddie.
I've been Daniel.
This has been a pleasure, and we will catch you on the flip side.